Good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of Jesus. Good to see all of you here this morning. Thank you for coming. I have enjoyed being here, worshiping with you at Swatara this morning. Enjoy getting in different congregations on Sunday mornings and getting to see how they do church on Sunday morning. It's a blessing to be here. The title of the message this morning is God's Word on Marriage and the Home. God's Word on Marriage and the Home. I'm sensitive to a subject like this because some of my own experiences and experiences of others. That sometimes, well, we live in a fallen world, and we live among fallenness. And sometimes there are hurts in marriages, and there are hurts in the home. So while today we're going to be preaching God's Word on Marriage in the Home, I want to say that if you're part of a broken marriage, you're part of a broken home, God's blessing to you. And may you find God's grace and healing as you walk that journey. I'm also here to tell you that if you're a child of one of those situations, one of your parents has been unfaithful, and your home is dysfunctional, I'm here to tell you that your home does not need to be that way. You're not predisposed to have a dysfunctional home or a broken marriage. As you surrender your heart and life to God and accept the journey that you're walking, you can have a good marriage and you can have a good home. God's Word on Marriage in the Home. The burden of the message this morning is to strengthen our belief in the doctrine of the Word of God in relation to marriage and the home. Now, I think I'm talking to a group of people who believes the Bible and believes in the permanence of marriage and believes in dad taking his role and mom taking her role and children filling their place. We believe that, I believe. But you know this, I don't need to tell you, you know it. But these two things, marriage and the home, are just really in shambles today. And alternate lifestyles and this thing of commitment to each other is in pieces. And God help us that we can have strong marriages and strong homes. And it starts with strong individuals, strong people committed to the Lord is where it must begin. While men may try and change the laws of God to fit his fleshly desires, it does not change the law. God's law still is the law. God's truth still stands. God's word stands as a rock, unchanging. We could talk about statistics. I'm not going to do that. But things are in shambles around us. God's design for marriage in the home is one that, if followed, brings rest, joy, and fulfillment to the human family. And I invite you to turn with me for a text to Ephesians chapter 5, and we had been there before this week. But Ephesians chapter 5, I want to read a few verses here, and then I think I have 5 points related to this God's Word on marriage in the home. Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning to read at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, and let's read verses 18 to 21. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So point number one is this, that marriage is designed by God. It is God's design. He is the writer of the blueprint. And if you'll notice, turning back again to Ephesians chapter 5, at verse 31, you see a verse here that in my Bible, it's all capitalized. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is taking us back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Back when God created Adam and Eve, he says, therefore shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So this marriage is designed by God. Oneness in marriage is God's design, and we work in our marriages for oneness. One man, one woman, for one lifetime is God's design of marriage. Lest, exception being, if a partner dies, the other partner is living, is free to remarry. Let's have it in our minds firm, one man, one woman, for life. There is no room for infidelity. One man, one woman, for life. In my studies this week, this verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And then it follows, for this cause shall a man leave. I think there's some depth in that that I still am needing to learn. But oneness, a oneness in marriage. So think of it with me this way. So our oneness in marriage, one man, one woman for life. You could think, you could have the word marriage or being married, one man, one woman. And as their union of oneness and working together as a unit of oneness, you have that little circle there of marriage. And then you have a line drawn up here and you have another circle, and it exemplifies Christ and his relation to the church. This ordinance of marriage, one man, one woman for life, the fidelity or the strength of that union and how they relate together is to point the world and the rest of us, as our marriages relate, that this is how Christ and the church relates together in our relationship. It is that picture. Oh, when I think of that, I think of how much I have not portrayed Christ in my marriage to its fullest extent. And we're human, we understand. But the battle for oneness is real. The battle for oneness, too. They twain shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Let your mind think about that. The design of marriage. Furthermore, Jesus teaches us with his own words in Matthew 19, verses 4 to 6. We're not going to turn there. Jesus teaches us on the permanence of marriage. Mark chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. And I know that we believe that. But, you know, really believe it. That marriage is not to be. We are not to divorce. Divorce has been an innovation by man and not of God's original intent. God's design of marriage, we're thinking about. So, it is his design. The permanence of marriage. You see, if I divorce my partner, it is like the bride of Christ. Well, let me say it this way. So when we as a child of God look to the world for satisfaction, it is like we are in a divorce situation with our father, with the bride, with the groom. We're looking to the things of the world. So God's designed for marriage. He designed marriage. It's designed permanence. Divorce is not an option. Another one of his designs is that through God's design, this design of marriage, it is in the sacredness of the union of marriage that children are brought into the world. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. The sacredness of the marriage union. I said before, God established marriage as an earthly institution portraying Christ's relationship with the church, his bride. God designed marriage. His design of marriage has provided a beautiful way for the physical and emotional needs of both man and woman to be met in a way that complements each other. It's a beautiful way. You know, there at Adam, when the animals were walking in front of him, and you know, they all walked by him, and in my own words, I could see Adam there, and this is not going to do. This just doesn't fit. And then God made a help meet for him, a help suitable for him. And you know, as husbands, we understand the help suitable. There's just so much that, you know, we're at least I am, I'm sort of handicapped without my wife almost. I mean, I can do some things, but there's a help meet for us as men. Marriage is honorable. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. It is a sanctified union. Number two, what does the word say on marriage and the home? Number two, and I should have had number two and number three switched. But number two, I have wives are called to live in submission to their husbands. Ephesians 5, 22 and 24. Husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wives are called to live in submission. Colossians 3:18, where we read, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. 1 Peter 3:1, call for wives to be in submission to their husbands. God has ordained the authority structure of the home to be such that the husband is the head and the wife is his help meet. No, it is not a dictator relationship and should not be. They both have equal standing to God, but God has equal standing. They're both have equal relationship to the Heavenly Father, but God has designed and established a headship order. A wife who fills her God-given role in respect and submission to her husband imparts to her children an invaluable gift. I was blessed. Both my dad and my mother are gone. But I was blessed to live in a home where my mother lived in submission to my dad. And I knew sometimes that mom didn't quite agree with dad's version. But you know what? Mom submitted. And mom didn't allow any kind of wedge to come between us and the home. And mom surrendered to what dad says. That's what it will be. Sometimes we would try to... Well, mom was soft-hearted and mom... So we ask her about things. But you know, she'd say, well, let's see what dad says. And what dad said, that's what it was. Submission can sound like a tough word. God's plan is not for husbands to rule over their wives in a dictator, superior type of relationship, but in love and to honor. It's a love and honor. This will aid in helping his wife to submit to his leadership. A healthy marriage will not focus so much on command and submission as it will on love and respect. God's blessing rests upon the wife who seeks to submit herself to her husband's leadership and live with him in honor and respect. You know, husbands, well, we'll look at that here in just a moment. Submission. Number three, husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. I'm saying these are God's word on marriage. To love our wives as Christ loved the church. What a tall order. You see, at night when you are in bed and you're retiring for the night and you actually have fallen asleep and it's late at night and the doorbell rings, husbands, it's your responsibility to go to the door. And you say, of course. But you know, I've had that experience where the doorbell rang at night, and I knew by virtue of being husband and being dad, I needed to answer the door. And you think about it. Husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. A husband in his love for his wife will be careful in how he relates to her. And we know that the rubber meets the road. And sometimes in our relating together, there is some friction. It's not all easy. But we are responsible to love. Husband is the divinely appointed head or authority over his wife to provide the leadership for her and for the home. So husbands, when your wife or your daughters or your children ask you, you know, what means these stones? You know, talk and tell them. Be a communicating father. One of the things that has happened in the fall is that I believe that man has been weakened in his state, and we have become complacent. Our tendency is to be complacent and just balled up in ourselves. And women's tendency is to be the leader. There's that tension that happened in the fall. And we do well to keep those things in check. Husband is the savior of the body, or he's the protector of his wife and of his family, both physically and spiritually. Husbands, love. Love, be actively involved in your marriage and in your relationship. And these things take time. Love is demonstrated not so much by what is said, but through the action that it prompts. Two important responsibilities of husbands to their wives. I see in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, now listen, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Nourish means to take care of. Cherish means to foster, to encourage or promote the development of, to help to succeed. But I'm burdened when husbands and dads have more time for business and their activities than they do for their wife in the home. And I don't know if that's happening here. I don't know your congregation. But I'm just burdened by that. And then we wonder why we have some of the problems that we do. Dads, husbands, you are called to nourish and cherish your wife. It's a Bible, the God's word on marriage. More could be said on that. 1 Peter 3, verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Take care of your wife and her needs. It is your responsibility. The needs of the family. And you know, sometimes as husbands, we find ourselves coming up short. We know that there's a need here. Our wife is struggling with something. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. Something in her, around housekeeping, or there's something that should be different. The refrigerator has an issue, or the dryer's got an issue, and we know it. We know that there's an issue. There's a difference between a dad, a father, a husband who knows that there's an issue that's needing to be taken care of and wants to take care of, but at the moment does not have the resources to take care of it. There's a difference between that than between a husband who doesn't really realize there's an issue and doesn't really care. There's a difference there. Sometimes the business is the state of the art, but the home is on. Yeah, there's just, and I'm preaching to myself. I don't have a business, but husband's love. Nourish and cherish. Psalm 127, 3-5. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I would like to promote family. Family life. Dad, mother, and children, as God graciously gives. If God gives you children, be a family. Some time ago, and discussions in our home, and you know how they go. We're family. We have different opinions. We have different children have different gifts and see things differently, and sometimes there's friction that develops, absolutely. But I said the other, some time ago, in one of those situations, you know what? We're family. We relate together as family. We must see each other's gifts. Someone could do something different than somebody else and can't do something as good as somebody else. That's okay. We're family. We relate together as family. Number four, children are to be trained by their parents. God's word on marriage in the home. Children are to be trained by their parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1-4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up. Children, obey. Well, if they're going to obey, there's going to be a command. Children are to be trained by their parents. The primary burden rests on the father in verse 4. Bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6-7. The children of Israel were to teach their children diligently the command of God. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22, verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. As parents, we need to understand and we need to recognize that the Bible tells us that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Parents, you're to train your children to relieve them, to help them from the bondage of the boundness of their foolishness. By nature, they are bent on the wrong way. The biblical pattern of effective parental training of children emphasizes a balance of instruction and discipline, both administered in love and respect. Instruction and discipline. Children do not just need to know what is wrong, they need to know what is right. They need to know how to live, to be in dad's good favor. Not that they just do it for that, but they need to know what pleases dad and what makes dad happy. And to be able to know what doesn't. To neglect our God-given responsibility in nurturing and training our children is to live in disobedience to the Word of God. It's our responsibility as parents to train our children. Yes, the school and the church is involved as well. But you know what? When parents do their responsibility, it makes it easier for the other institutions in the life of that child to add and speak into the life of the child. Before parental training will be effective, a child first needs to be trained to hearken. What does that mean? What needs to be trained to hear the voice of the parent and respond? To listen. We talked about that some last evening. But to listen. We know what that's like. Listen up. Look me in the eyes, I'm talking to you. God is the head of our home. All right. One of the important lessons that we need to teach our children is that as parents, we too are under authority. And we need to be obedient to God and His Word. We need to be obedient to our leader, and that is God. God is the head of our home, and we follow Him, not our own whims and wishes. As parents and as dads, as you're training and nurturing your children, one of the things that I think is helpful is to tell your children that, you know what? This is what the Bible teaches, and I am responsible to God for the way I lead. Number five, God's word on marriage in the home. Number five, and this is for you children. Children are called to obey their parents. Pretty simple. But they're called to obey their parents. Along with obedience comes honor thy father and respect your mother. Sometimes I think that in our cultures, and I can see it in my own home, but in our cultures, this honor and respect, we sort of maybe have digressed a little bit on it. So honor and respect. Children, honor your father and your mother. You do that by obeying them. You do that by your gifts of love and your appreciation for them. And that changes as a child grows. But to honor and respect. It is in that you will find blessing in life. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. And that means a thing of beauty and not bondage. Proverbs 4, hear ye, the children, the instruction of a father. For children to have the privilege to hear their children to have the privilege to hear the instruction, there must be a father who is willing to speak. The pearl, and that's P-E-R-I-L, of so many homes is that dad does not speak. Dad is a passive dad. And in the process of time, mother becomes frustrated and feels the need to become the one who speaks. Consistency is very important in training our children and in teaching them right from wrong. Well, I'd like to conclude by giving you just some encouragements for husbands and wives and children. I just have these three here, and then I want to read a poem. God's word on marriage and the home. Encouragement for husbands. Love your wife. Love sacrificially with no strings attached. It's love from the goodness of your heart. Give your wife honor and seek to understand her. Love the Lord with your whole heart most of all. Our wife will not be able to. Our partners, wives and husbands, there are needs that we have that the partner cannot fill. Love the Lord with your whole heart. And I have written here, and this is hard for us men, but talk. You know, did you ever ask your wife, you know, are we talking now? And she says, well, not really. Because we're not quite connecting on the same level. Seek to understand. Wives, mothers, reverence your husband and submit to his leadership as best you know how. Stand by your husband and encourage him and support him as he endeavors to lead. Oh, one of the things that there's just probably not much more that I enjoy is when I'm working at a project to have my wife just come by and maybe just sit there and watch and read a book. Wow, that's just really neat. She doesn't have to say anything, but just to be there. Wives, just support your husband. It is not so much in the amount of words that you say, or it's not so much in the amount of words that you have to say, but in your presence by his side that will give him courage in his responsibility. Wives, guide the house in the duties that a godly mother has to do. Do it well. And love the Lord with all your heart. Most of all, children, obey your parents. Love and honor them. Listen to what they have to tell you. Thank your parents from time to time for what they do for you. Now, I would like to read a poem. And this poem, some of you that are in the ministry would have heard this poem. Sim Yoder read it at one of our conference sessions, and I really, really enjoyed the poem. And it's about marriage. Primarily, husband and wife. And it's titled, When One is Left. Two young trees grew side by side. The year was young and the sky was wide. The sun and the wind and the rain were kind. And their branches grew strong and intertwined. They weathered the storms that trees must face. And each stood straight with the other to brace. Now two old trees and one great crown, but the reaper came and the one went down. Now the one left there can never be the same. It stands only half a tree. So two young lives grew side by side. Their years were young and time was wide. Our God was good and his blessings kind. And their hearts grew strongly intertwined. They shared both the sweet and the bitter cup as they struggled and held each other up. There were storms that challenged and changed them too. There were failures and faith and a hard way through. A strand of gold through the years God wove, and it held them together, his gift of love. In the sunset's glow, they stood as one. Then the reaper came, and a life was done. Now the left behind one stands alone, and half of the life and heart are gone. But the God who gave is a God of grace, and in his love is there in the empty place. Just enjoy that poem. You know, marriage is for time. But if God should call one home before the other, God's grace is sufficient to carry us through. And let us be faithful, that if should that be our lot, we can look back with no regrets. Yes, we could have done better. Let us do our part that we need to do to fulfill the role that God has called us to do. Let us kneel to pray. Father in heaven, thank you.